Famine in the land shows how precious that fine
meal was. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So can we say they were feeding upon something? It wasn't necessarily poisonous until the addition of the wild vines, but there was no real nutrition there until the meal was added. So we could feed upon stuff all day long that just has no value. Might not necessarily have a detrimental value, but the meal didn't come in until after the poison. But would you say the pottage before the meal, even without the wild vine, there was still nothing, there was nothing of value there. It wasn't suitable to eat until the meal was added.
Well, just historically, they didn't start eating till the man put the thing in there. So before that, nobody was eating anything from it yet.
I was wondering if, because there was death that was in the pot, that in terms of the meal, the Spirit of God could have brought a different application, if you would. But Bill spoke about Leviticus 2. Leviticus brings out the different offerings. But I was wondering if there's something very specific in terms of the meal being able to absorb the death that was in the pot, the poison, and how that might be applied to the life as in the perfect humanity of the Lord in relation to death. And I wonder if I can get some help, because I'm just formulating this in my mind. But there was, it's not just that it was some food that didn't taste good, but it was death that was there. And so the counter death has to be life.
It says of Christ, in him was life. And the, right? Or light in the light?
Life
was the light of men, right? In him was life. And I love the way it flows here, at least in Rai Darby. Just looking at it, it says, man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat it. And he said, then bring meal. I like the word then. It's like he's saying that it's just the natural as well. Then bring meal. There's death, then bring meal. It's like, that's where you're just, it's like a natural reaction, a natural response to death. Then it's got to be meal. Then bring life, the life of Christ that can, almost trump death, as Christ did.
It's the only thing that will counteract death, the life of Christ. You have his life brought out in the expressions at the age of 12, where he says to his mother and father, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? That's the meal beginning to manifest itself in even at a very young age. Absolute obedience. Nothing of an imbalanced character. He knew what he was here for, and he carried it out, no matter the fact that his parents might have suffered his loss for that time that he was not with them. So there is a balanced character about him that began right at the get-go, and that is what the meal represents. What is capable in the life of this blessed man to counteract death?
Well, there's also another fact here, which I just want to point out, and that is that when the meal was put in, the meal itself didn't become contaminated by the death of the pot. Mm-hmm. So the Lord Jesus, for example, when he touched the leper was healed. Yeah. If a man touched the leper, that man was contaminated himself. So the meal was extremely effective.
And that's what I think, Tony, you were bringing up, is that the whole idea again of bringing the power of life in him, in him with life, is able to take care of this matter of death and poison that was going on among the people of God. And again, that's why it is important to read the Word of God, to know how Christ have acted, how Christ have done things, so we will be able to do likewise as he have done. It's a fine flower, as we have heard. The perfection of his life. The beauty of his life. What is the hymn said? In thee all human graces blended. He every word that he spoke, the gracious word that proceeded. And yet he spoke with authority. There was, just as David was saying, the perfect balance in his life. In that pure meal that was brought in there to bring healing. So if the life of Christ bring healing when there is death. We don't stop there. Unless we have any other thoughts, we would like to move to the last section.
It's important to recognize from the story that although there is a famine, there could never be a famine in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And that is well with us to keep in mind. That when they sat together in the presence of famine in the land, all what Elisha said set apart. He is a person who's going to provide food. And brethren, if there is famine amongst us, let us run to the true Elisha, the Lord Jesus, and we can rest assured that he will feed our souls with the integrity of his heart, and we will be satisfied.
There's a practical example, in a sense, in the epistle to the Philippians, because there we had, and we talked about making it practical and applying it in our local settings and in local assemblies, two sisters, Paul had to beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There seemed to be outbreaking or working of the flesh there. And so Paul says to the Philippian company, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then gives the example of the humiliation and of the man in Christ. That's bringing the meal in to correct the difficulty.
But would you say also the fine flower is the Lord Jesus in his life? Death has no claims over him because he was sinless.
Yes.
The wages of sin is death. So death has no claims over him. This is the beauty when we say Christ died. It's not death that claimed him. He went and claimed death. He is the only one who can really conquer death in the integrity of his person, because in his life, being the pure offering, death has no claims over him.
Not only does death have no claim on him, as the hymn says that we sing, he death by dying through. And we see this here.
So he laid down his life. Now, I'm wondering if the connection, because a question was asked earlier, where did the meal come from? And I think you responded to it, your question, Emma. And you might also ask yourself the question as we move into the man from Baal Shalisha, where does he get bread of the first fruits from? It's a famine. Where is meal coming from? Where is bread coming from? You're reminded when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan and had defeated Jericho. There was the matter of the Passover. There is the matter of the corn, old corn of the land. Where did it come from? It was the rich provision of the harvest before that Jehovah secured, so that when they came into the land, there was the abundance, the available supply. I believe it's the same principle here, where it's divine provision. The meal was there. It's ever there. Now, the man, Baal Shalisha, brings bread of the first fruits. Now, here is a man, I think, you would say, he has been engaged in harvest. That apparently, his farm, speaking literally, had yielded abundantly, because he was not occupied with the thoughts that there is a famine. He knew the joy of rich supply. And so he comes with his full supply of bread. And Baal Shalisha is a man from the far country, from the heavenly country, from the heavenly atmosphere. There is never going to be any shortage, any famine, where there is the matter of heavenly supply. So that's where this man gets his supply from the heavenly atmosphere.